Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and I have a question for you today. When did you last check your short-term insurance contract? I did this a couple of weeks ago, and I have to tell you, I got quite a shock because while the premiums have not gone up significantly, you know, I was quite impressed. I thought, oh, they've stayed within line with inflation. There has been a really large increase in the excess I have to pay should I make a claim. And I must tell you, if I hadn't read those documents, that would have come as quite a big surprise. I mean, just to give you an example, the excess on my car insurance went from 3,000 Rand to 4,000 Rand. I mean, that's a 33% increase. They introduced a 1,500 Rand excess on a claim due to a power surge. And my general building excess increased from 500 to 1,000 Rand. And while the premiums on my household contents actually decreased, which was quite nice, the excess increased from 1,000 Rand to 1,500 Rand. I've been chatting to friends and colleagues, I'm discussing this, and I've realized that it seems to be happening to most policyholders. So I thought, hold on a second, this is a discussion that we need to be having. And I wanted to find an expert, and I have with me today Karen Rimmer of PSG Insure, who has kindly agreed, thank you, Karen, to join me and just to provide some insights into what's happening and what can we as policyholders actually do about it. So welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Maya. It's great to be here with you.
And I want to ask you, is this experience that I've had, are you seeing this with all your clients? Is this a trend?
Yes, it is. It definitely is a trend. And you'll see differences between your clients. So it depends on a lot of things. But I think given what the industry went through the past 18 to 24 months, we were actually expecting that. The great thing about it is that it gives you the opportunity to choose what you want to do. So it gives you more negotiation power with your insurer to say, what is it that I can afford and how can I do that? So not everybody can afford the premium increases. So maybe you can increase your excess to an extent and lower your premium. So those are the things that are very important. The reasons for it is multiple. So many things have happened in our environment that we need to take that into consideration. Second question would be, will it be the same for every client? No, definitely not. So if you talk to your friends, they'll probably have a similar experience, but not exactly the same, because there's a lot of factors that you need to take into consideration when you look at risk underwriting. And that is what we see is happening more and more in the insurance in industry.
So this is an interesting one. So in order to keep, so what you're saying is in order to keep my premiums down and not see this big jump in premium increases, they're actually looking specifically at excesses. So only when you claim, I suppose, do you feel the pain of the change, I suppose, of the cost change, really.
Yeah. But I don't think...
Yeah, sorry, Karen.
No, I don't think, as I said, everyone will see it exactly that way. It will depend on you as an individual. But what is very important is that your claim ratio or your claim history will play a role, but a lot of other things as well. I think what makes it better is the fact that when you sit with an advisor and you need to make a call on what can I afford compared to the other thing, then you have a choice of doing that to a certain extent. So I think the insurers are really providing with what the information that they have about the client, making a decision on what the particular risk is and how can we mitigate those risks and how can we then offer the insured a policy that is not specifically tailor-made but to an extent given your specific circumstances.
And are we seeing an increase in claims? When we talk about this, we're saying, you know, you said you were expecting this to come. What is actually happening globally, locally when it comes to claims that we're seeing these increases?
Absolutely, Miles. So much has happened. And it really started, if I look globally first, it really started with a pandemic that obviously nobody expected and nobody was really insured for. We weren't ready to look at things like that. So that was the first thing globally. And what we're also seeing globally is really the weather patterns changing, all of those things that it's just so many more claims. So you've got claims on earthquake, it's tsunamis, it's floods, it's fires and all of those things. So when you determine risk, it's about what is the probability of something happening And if it happens, what is the impact thereof? Mm-hmm. So you can imagine with big things like that, the impact is enormous. So that's what's happening on the global side. If you then look at the South African side, we all have that other things that globally is also important, but we also have our own things that we need to look at, where infrastructure is a big thing. With the weather patterns, with infrastructure not being maintained at the level that they should be, you can just imagine the number of claims could be the same, but the extent of the claim is so much higher. And then we've got Eskom, that is a lot of things happen based on that in the insurance industry, something that we never thought would happen to the extent that it does now. And it's a constant thing. It's going to continue for a while. And then with our economic situation and people not having employment, crime rate has gone up. So theft has become the thing, and vehicles and the value of vehicles. So there are so many things that just you could just see this coming. And I think what insurers are trying to do is that they need to keep their heads above the water. They need to stay profitable. Clients need them to stay profitable. So we need to work together to see how we can weather the storm.
And talking about weathering the storm, I think you and I have spoken about this before, and you were saying, I mean, certain areas have now become almost uninsurable. You're starting to struggle to actually get insurers to insure in places like KZN, for example. So I suppose this is what it's about. It's about saying, you know, how do we mitigate these risks? What can we do? But if you reach a point where the infrastructure is so bad and the floods are no longer just floods, they're now the extent of the damage is enormous because the infrastructure has collapsed. I mean, this is really, really serious especially for people living in those areas where insurers don't even want to potentially insure, or it's going to cost you a fortune to insure.
It is absolutely like that. And what you do see is the insurers don't want to be there anymore. If they do make it available, it's at, as you said, at a premium that the normal individual can simply not afford. So that is becoming a huge issue. From our point of view, that are more on the intermediary side, we're struggling to place some of our clients. We just cannot get cover. And you can imagine for an individual, it's difficult, but even businesses, it becomes almost impossible. So if we don't do something very specific about it, those people are just not going to be insurable. And that doesn't only go for certain areas with regards to floods and things. It also goes to certain areas that the crime rate is very high. There's certain areas where they just don't want to insure you anymore based on the crime rate in that environment. It is just too much of a risk.
I mean, this is, again, once more the consequence of a collapsing government, I suppose, to a degree. We won't get into the politics of that, but yes.
Please do not.
But that's the reality. The reality is when infrastructure is collapsing, crime is out of control, your insurance premiums are going to be skyrocketing. And that's why we're seeing, I suppose, this. I think you described it as the risk sharing model. So it seems to me that more and more insurers are saying, listen, we need you to take on some of this risk. And is it maybe there is a, I was trying to think about this when I went through my short-term insurance contract, I thought, am I happier that I now have a 1500 Rand power surge excess rather than seeing an increase in my premium, because I can at least try and mitigate power surges. So, I mean, do you think that there are, do you think this model could work for clients if they take on more of the risk mitigation?
Definitely. I think that is the way forward for us. Currently in South Africa, we have a responsibility on the insurer's side to obviously help us with that. But us as individuals, we also have a responsibility. For me, it's always very important that you understand the risk that you are willing to take on and those that you are not willing to take on. And it's important to talk to an expert on this so that you can say, if I look at my house and it burns down, to what extent do I have the ability to protect my house against a fire that is in any case going to happen maybe close by? And how can I afford to rebuild that house? And that's probably going to be very difficult. But if I look at something like my laptop, that is also to me quite valuable. The fact that I can lose my laptop, yes, it's definitely like that. Can I replace it? I probably can make provision for that. So I think it's important to say, what are those things that I'm willing to take on self-insuring? So if it does happen, I'm going to buy my own new laptop. And what are those really important things that I simply would not be able to afford? And also then with that comes prevention. If I know that I have to pay for my laptop myself if it gets stolen, you can be pretty sure that I'll make sure that it's locked up where it's supposed to be locked up. So I think that's the balance of what can you do physically and what can you afford not to insure. So you, if something does happen, you will still be able to get by. And then the other thing where it's really, you know, it, you can't, you just need that protection. And then it's important to get to look at the value. Still, how can I safeguard my house and all of those things that come with that. Mm-hmm. And if we do talk about the contract, I think it is important to realize that make very sure that you know what is important for you as an individual to do to get that cover.
And I wanted to, when you were talking about self-insurance, I was thinking about cell phones. You know, you can go pretty much on take and buy a cell phone for 5,000 rand. You don't need, first of all, a 20,000 rand cell phone, by the way. 5,000 rand cell phone. I was going through my mom's insurance contract. She's had her cell phone, I think, for like 6 years. It's an old one, but she's happy, you know. She's in her 80s and she knows how it works. She was paying like 120 rand a month insurance. She's been paying 120 rand a month for 5-6 years. I said, Mom, honestly, put that 120 rand a month and save it. And then you've got money to buy a 5,000 rand cell phone. So I think it is important to go through your contract. And another really good example is what a friend of mine noticed on her contract, that her keys, her car keys, had a specific allocation on, it was a separate item on her on insurance. And she worked out again. She went to find out how much that would cost to replace her and worked out saying, oh, but I can self-insure that. I don't need to have this insurance. So I think it is about going through each detail and saying, what can I self-insure? But also, please, when I say self-insure, make sure you have the money like in an emergency fund, because what generally happens is the self-insurance turns into a credit, right? Turns into a loan. Oops, I don't have the money for the laptop. Now I need to borrow money. So, and that can end up costing you a lot of money. So I think it is important. But, you know, I want to go back to the importance of reading your contract, because I did that in detail. When I saw those increases, I thought, let me actually read the fine print. What do you think you need to watch out for in the fine print, Karen?
I'm glad that you referred to it not necessarily as a policy, but as a contract, because I think people tend to forget that. And I also want to say, I think a few years earlier, your short-term it wasn't that complex. It was a basic policy and just about everything was covered. So I think now it's the contract, and based on that contract, a claim is going to be paid or not. So it is important that you know what's in there. The most important things is to look specifically at what is insured. What are those items that are insured and what is the value linked to them? Again, if we look at costing, maybe you can lower the value. If you look at your car, for instance, it's always market value. So your car might be on the same value that it was 5 years ago, and you can bring that down. So those are the things that you need to look at. So what is insured? What is the cover? What are you paying for it? And very important, what are the terms and conditions? We have a saying in short term, you have a duty of care to prevent loss. And we all have that. And sometimes we don't look at it specifically within our contracts. So one of the examples that I can mention is, depending on where you stay, you might have a condition saying your car must be in a garage, or you must have burglar bars, or you must have an alarm. And if you do not have those things, or you have the alarm, but it wasn't set, or the battery went flat because of load shedding, all of those things will have an impact when you have a claim. And I'm not saying it will necessarily be repudiated, but it will make the claim more complex. So those terms and conditions, so those are the main things. Look at what is insured, and if there are gaps, what did I forget? Sometimes people acquire an asset during the year and they simply just forget to let their broker know or put it on. So that would be one thing, the cover, the premium that you pay for it, the excess that you pay for it, and are you willing to negotiate on premium versus excess? And then the terms and conditions, very, very important.
And also one of the things you were saying is you know, what is the value? And you were talking about a car, your car may be worth less. One of the big ones I do, and I do it every couple of years, is I actually get an assessor. I get my insurance company to send an assessor to my home to value my contents. And this, I probably open every drawer. They look at everything. So I know absolutely everything in my house has been itemized and the value has been approved. And do you know that every single time the value that the insurer has on my contents is actually higher than what my contents are. So my insurance always comes down after I've done it. But what I also discovered was that we actually had a robbery and they stole laptops and a whole lot of things. There wasn't a question, nothing. The insurer paid out in 48 hours because those items were very clearly marked. They knew I wasn't underinsured, all of that. So I just as a tip, I would really recommend getting an assessor in. Is that something that you would also recommend to your clients?
Absolutely. It's a free service and you can't go wrong with that. Some people, contrary to you, would buy additional assets. They wouldn't realize that that it has to be insured for the replacement value. And I would think, I've had it for a year or two, it's probably not worth that while. And then you get to a total number and you are underinsured. And that will obviously have an impact on your claim. And that is disheartening. If you just didn't realize that, it could be really a loss for you. So that is important. And we really find that if you do that, it's, as you said, it's very clear, you know exactly what was covered and you'll get the replacement value of that cover.
I think it's a really worthwhile thing to do. I mean, we don't have, my husband has a lot of mountain bikes and bicycles and things like that. And so I discovered what they were worth. You know, if men don't tell you the truth. I was like, what? I must just tell you an anecdote. I was speaking to her about it and I was like, they're what? How much is this adding to our insurance? And she said, and I asked her, I said, when it comes to when you go into houses, the wife and the husband, who has more? Who's more belongings? And from a value perspective, she'd always the men. And I thought that was interesting. She said, men and their toys, and they complain about our clothes. That's all I'm saying, men. It's actually your toys.
But then again, you have to remember that your shoes also have to be at their replacement value. And that can add up to quite a bit.
Well, it was also interesting because she said, your wardrobe is worth, and she gave this huge number. I said, no. And she said, let's just go through what you're wearing right now. That t-shirt, those jeans, those shoes, that's at least 3,000 rand sitting on your body right now. How many outfits do you have? It was it was a really interesting, yes. Very interesting exercise to do. So I think just from a matter of interest, it's definitely worth doing. But I also wanted to look at, and maybe to end on a slightly more positive note, is the, you know, your contract, looking at your contract. I was interested to see things like, you know, wear and tear. You've got to maintain your house. If a leak is caused by roof tiles that are cracked, you won't be paid out. So very important. But what I was surprised is what they do pay for, Karen. I didn't realize that they would pay for the removal of a tree that has fallen down in a storm. Now, I had a tree fall down in a storm and had to have it removed. I didn't know I could claim for that. My insurer also will pay if 50%, or they will pay for the cost of water if I've had a leakage, as long as that leakage was more than, the bill's more than 50% of my normal reading, for example, and they will pay for a leak detection. So there were things that I thought, oh, wow, you know, that's also why it's worth reading your contract. And what do you think are some of the things that people may not be aware of that they have in their contracts?
Yeah, I would always recommend for any person to get the services of a financial advisor to help you, specifically an expert on insurance. Their services are basically free, and they're absolutely experts in what you need to have. So the process that they need to go through to help you is like a formal process. So firstly, it's what is your need? Because I think we tend to think that there's a house and a car, but so many other things around your life is important. So what is really important is that you get somebody that you can trust and that can go through your stuff with you, give you the expertise around that. What we see nowadays is we call it value-added products. And many people don't even realize that it's included into their policy. Those would be the things like road assist. If you get stuck on the road with your car and you can just phone somebody, or car hire, or things like that. And especially during this period where we struggle to get car parts. So your car was in an accident. It took a lot longer, but then you had a hired car and you didn't have to pay for it. So those are all things that is either already there and you're not aware of it, or you can ask for that additionally. And it's very, very small premiums. It's like a little bit of a bundle that they put with your policy, and you can get a lot of additional value from that. And I think those are the things that The client doesn't necessarily know that. But if you have an advisor, he can look at your specific situation and say, listen, you're a single woman. You probably need this more than somebody who's got a handyman in the house. So those are the things that I really feel is very important. I had a conversation with an elderly lady the other day, and she also didn't realize that she could get somebody in to fix her stove, even her light bulbs, because she couldn't get there. So all of those things are included to an extent, but it depends on your specific policy and contract. So there are a lot of things that you can gain from it if you know it or you ask for it. And I think an advisor, because of the fact that he works with so many people on a daily basis, is that it's just easier for them to offer that. They also have access to a variety of providers, insurers, as well as policies. And it's just worth your while. Get that advice. And it also makes your claims process easier as well, because they can help you through that process. And sometimes that can become quite daunting for somebody that has been through a trauma and now you have to deal with all these admin things.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have an advisor. And in fact, that's what the document they always send at the beginning of the year, what has changed in your policy. And that's how I discovered all these increases in the excess. But I suppose it's still an onus on us to make sure we read the fine print and understand it. And I just wanted to also ask you one final question, because I'm close to 55. I'm not that close, but I've got another 3 years to go to 55. And they will waiver the excess on my car insurance once I'm 55. Is that standard?
Yes, it is. It is actually standard. We had a family conversation this weekend, and there were a few pensioners involved there. And somebody had a scratch on his car, and my husband said, just go and have it repaired. You don't have any excess to pay for it. So, yeah, there are those things. And it's always been like that. I think we just only realize it when we get close to that age.
Exactly. When you first took out the policy 20 years ago, it may not have meant so much. One day you get to 55 and it's like, oh, wow, this is fantastic. Again, that's why you need to read your contract. So thank you so much, Karen, for spending this time with us. And I hope to the listeners, this has given you a little bit of, I know short-term insurance is not the sexy stuff. We're not talking about crypto and Bitcoin here, but it really is. It's those day-to-day little things that we need to know and we need to look after when it comes to our admin and our finances. So again, thank you, Karen.
It was a pleasure.